Please be seated. Welcome as we gather to worship our God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and, who's revealed himself to us and has been so gracious to us. And we come to worship him and thank him and to make holy the Lord's Day as we worship and rest on this day. I want to personally, on behalf of everyone who was there yesterday, thank the Bennetts for opening their farm up to us for the church picnic, and it's a great time. I always watch the kids. There's so many things that the kids can do, just enjoying God's creation, and just sitting on that porch or looking at the mountain and relaxing, and so very good time of refreshment, and we're thankful for that. I personally want to, you weren't at the picnic, personally want to thank the church for your gift to me for my 60th birthday. I tried to fly under the radar with that birthday, but I should have been smart enough to know it wasn't going to happen. For you, that card with all of the wonderful words of encouragement and the gift that will help us as we make our trip to Florida in September. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Brittany is traveling, but not to Florida. Tomorrow she's traveling to Uganda, right, to Karamoja, working with the Wrights in their ministry. And so keep Brittany in your prayers. There is a letter for each person who has a slot in the mailbox from Brittany concerning this trip. So make sure you check your mailbox, pick it up and read it, and keep her in our prayers as she works with the Orthodox Presbyterian mission over there. And we were told that they're sending you over with so many supplies that you can only take like one set of clothing, right? So we need to be praying about how all that works out, packing, getting everything that you need and taking the supplies they need, and praying for the Scots as they send her off. And keep Brittany and the Scots in your prayers, and praise. Kristen Cornell delivered a girl, and it probably went over past midnight into today, didn't it? Beth, is it? 10 of 7 this morning. Yeah, because, oh, last night. Because at 5 o'clock, they said the baby's heart rate dropped around 5 o'clock, and so they decided that they were going to have to do a C-section. Pete called me this morning and said, Sophia, wisdom, right? Sophia is breathing on her own. They actually have her on a breathing apparatus, but she can breathe without it, which is very good. So 2 pounds, 9 ounces. If, you know, the average guy doesn't know whether 2 pounds or 11 pounds, you know, we go, oh, okay, you know, but you know 2 pounds, I know that's pretty like a preemie. One of the great blessings that Pete shared is the fact that Mary Walters is now working at Lehigh Valley in that NICU. So she was away for the week, and she's in Virginia an awful lot getting ready for the wedding, but she probably will be back, and she will be part of the team that's going to be caring for little Sophia. So keep praying for Sophia. Pray for Kristen that she heals well. But Pete wanted me to thank everybody for your prayers. And he says, you know, you ask God to do his will, but you pray that his will coincides with yours. And Pete said, praise the Lord that God was gracious in doing that. And so we want to keep praying and as she recovers and as the baby grows stronger, because it'll be a little while before the baby can go home. Elders are meeting, or afterwards we're going to meet briefly. We have some business we need to take care of, and it shouldn't take long, but it has to be done before our next session meeting. So I don't think there are any other announcements. If I'm missing something, please say so. I'm sorry. Kaylee, where's Kaylee? Oh, okay. Kaylee's going on Wednesday, I think, to college. So I'm going to pray for her. She's away from home and up in Bloomsburg, right? For the adjustment, moving in and everything else. It's always a challenge on family, so keep her in prayer. And some of our other family members, their children are going to college but staying at home. It's that time of year where everybody's will start seeing people disappear going off to college. So all right, I believe that's everything. Beth is away, and so we have the opportunity to have Joanne lead us in the music and skip together, and she's really nervous. But I threw her a curb with a closing hymn. The words, I wanted to use the words, but she doesn't know the tune, so we're improvising. But keep her in prayer, right, Joanne, as she leads. She used to do this every Sunday at in your former church. So, they say, use it or lose it, right? So, everyone, it's good for Beth to go away once in a while. We're going to open with a great hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, 691. But before we begin to sing, please stand. And I want to read a passage of Scripture from Psalm 116 to call us to worship and to cause our minds to focus on God and who he is and what he has done, so that as we enter into worshiping him with this opening hymn and we sing It Is Well With My Soul, that we have that deep sense of awe and gratitude and praise to the Lord. It's well with our soul only because Christ went to the cross. Psalm 116. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our Lord is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst. And then David to the people of God says, O people of God, praise the Lord. He has given rest to our souls. Let us worship God. 691. And peace like a Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we sing "It Is Well With My Soul," we acknowledge truths that aren't even mentioned in this hymn. It is well with our soul because Christ has died. But Christ had to die because we are born in sin and separated from you, and our souls are dead. It is well with our soul. What an amazing thing to sing when you are a holy God. I think as our call to worship said, you are gracious and righteous. How can those two be when we are so sinful? It is well with our soul because you are full of compassion. It is well with our soul because the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and lived that we might have his righteousness. And so, Father, we praise you and we bless you and we worship you as the only true God, the God who saves, and the God who will one day judge all who are outside of Christ. Lord, inhabit our praises. By your Spirit, visit us and fill us anew. Guide us as we worship you, that all we do might honor you. And Lord, be with those in our midst who will soon be separated from their families. And may they remember that the bond we have in Christ supersedes distance. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our New Testament scripture, our Old Testament scripture lesson, I will be read by Skip. The scripture lesson on the back of the sermon outline is King James. I made a mistake in my computer, so just to let you know that, if you want to open your own Bibles, because I think you'll be reading from the NIV, Skip. So, and I gave the elders, other elders gave Skip the permission to skip over all those names there's a lot of hard names in this passage.
I just pronounce them the way I pronounce them. You pronounce them the way you pronounce them. And when we get up there, we'll find out how all wrong we all were about how they're pronounced, right? Ezra reads the law, Nehemiah chapter 8. When the seventh month came, the Israelites had settled in their towns. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshalem. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them.
As we prepare to bow before the Lord to confess our sins, in light of this, this chapter always fascinated me. I listened to sermons on off the web and in my MP3 player, and one Presbyterian pastor always says, "Let us all stand in reverence to God's word as it's read." And that was a common practice for years, to stand when God's word was read in light of things like this. But what amazed me is the words read and they're crying. And he says, "Don't cry." And he speaks that they understand the word and they enter in from tears to joy because they understand that they are condemned by the law. But by God's grace, they are his people. When we bow to confess, let us think specifically of our attitude toward God's word. Do we reverence it? How do we act when it's read? Do we get distracted? Do we read it enough ourselves? Do we have the kind of reverence that we see that they had and that God forced upon them once again as they were rebuilding Jerusalem? Let's bow and confess our sins in silence. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we do confess to you our sin regarding your word. We do not read it and study it enough. We do not show the reverence for it that we should, for we're sinners. We thank you for the love in our hearts for your word that you have placed there, and we thank you for how we have grown. But Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us if we've gotten careless in reading it, neglecting it. Lord, I think of a friend of mine who told me he preached a sermon, and he said to his people concerning the word of God, do you find yourself reading a book on theology by, you know, some writer like John Piper or Billy Graham, whoever it might be, and when it comes to a scripture verse that he quotes, you skim over it to get back to what the writer says, and it convicted his congregation as it ought to convict us. Forgive us, Lord, for not attending to your word as we ought, and cause us to love your law more and more, to read it more and more, to make no excuse and allow no excuse to keep us from regularly spending time reading the scriptures. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, the promise of God's pardon, the assurance that he pardons us if we come to him repenting, being sorry for, and confessing our sins. Psalm 96:8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. We're reminded that when we enter into God's presence and we sing, we praise his name, we do these things which to us seem to be so spiritual. People think of the offering as sort of a secular thing. And we read in the Psalms that it is part of our worship. Coming into his courts, bringing our offerings, and glorifying his name in that act of worship as well. Let us worship God as we give our tithes and offerings. At this time, Skip will come and read our New Testament scripture lesson. As he does, I forgot to mention the fact that I am going to be on vacation this week. So please call Pastor Mac if you have a pastoral need. He knows how to get a hold of me if it's something that I need to be involved in. But I will be gone this week, and then the next weekend, Pastor Mac will be preaching.
And Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 21. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice."
We're going to sing a medley of songs to praise God and to meditate upon his love for us through Christ. We're going to sit for the first two, and then we'll stand as we sing the final chorus. Let's sing together. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we cannot thank you enough for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We praise you and we worship you, and we do it so poorly. But yet, Father, we do it, and if it weren't for the grace of Christ in our lives, we wouldn't even be here. But you have brought us to this place. You have brought us to this next passage of Scripture. We thank you for giving us your word and the fact that your word speaks to all the circumstances of our lives. So instruct us from your word. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and the grace to obey. Give us an understanding of your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.